What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You look fucking jacked.
I don't feel jacked.
How come you haven't gotten any fatter since the last time I saw you?
I got a little bit.
Dude, why are you so shredded? I'm serious. I saw a photo of your like leg the other day. You still have striated glutes.
Yeah, I know.
The fuck are you what are you doing, man? It's off season. Time to bulk up.
273 right now.
What were you when you competed? 255 or something?
No, I was 248.
So you put on like 25 pounds.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like it. It looks like it all was quality because you're fucking like you're still shredded.
I stick to a diet still. I don't really.
You don't fuck off on the diet, eh?
I do like on Sundays when we train legs.
Yeah.
I eat two cheat meals that day, but other than that, I just stick to what I'm supposed to do.
So all week long you're good, and then Sunday you fuck off on it a bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Huh.
And I still do cardio every day too.
Yeah, I've been doing cardio every day too. I just my problem is like McDonald's ends up at my house like three times 3 times a week. Actually, this week was good. I was trying to be better, so my wife made me she made homemade lasagna on Saturday night. And then she made like a big pot of chili on Sunday. So I had like homemade food, but it was like kind of cheap food too, you know what I mean?
How much did you eat, though?
I ate the whole pot of chili. Not a good idea, man. My fucking stomach was rocked for like a day after.
That's what happened to me. On Sunday, we went to this breakfast place called Kiki's.
Yeah.
Fantastic place. But I'm not used to eating a shit ton of cheese anymore.
yeah
So I had some cheese on my omelet.
yeah
And the whole rest of the day, I was lighting it up, boy. My whole leg session, it was like every rep, it was like, crank, crank. And I'm like trying to focus, and I'm like, I'm like, fuck,
You
man.
can't, yeah. Cheese is hard, man. Cheese will fuck you up.
I used to like take the squirty cheese out of the can, like, and be fine. And I can't do none of that shit now.
I do a brick of cheese sometimes for a cheat meal.
Oh, that's good.
Like the whole brick. Like I just
Yeah,
chop, slice it up
that's
into like
good.
little, and then put it on crackers and shit.
That's all. I love that. I love doing
Yeah,
that.
right? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's good. So what's going on? So I noticed your waist is like getting smaller, even though you're getting heavier. You keep posting these photos like with like a side shot, and your stomach looks more and more. Is that your
I'm just
focus? Is that your
and
focus?
I'm see this what I'm doing now is I'm just we actually lowered my protein
Yeah.
compared to previous off seasons, which I think plays a role in that. Like I was eating like maybe like 9 or 10 ounces. We dropped it to like I think like 7,
Yeah.
and I don't ever feel bloated. So
One second. Let me get our other guest on.
Jamie the Giant.
Yeah. You ruined the surprise. Jamie, what's up?
Guys.
What's going on, man? You're on with Mr. Nick Walker. I got the giant and the shorter giant.
Beast on the show.
I got the beast and the giant, yeah. So we were just talking, Jamie. Actually, it's good that you're on because we were talking about cheat meals, and we'll get back to that in a minute. But
Oh, yes.
we were talking about Nick said he lowered his protein after his show because we were talking about how his stomach looks a little smaller. And I was just going to say, we were talking about that. This last prep that I did, everybody kept commenting that my stomach looked better. I actually lowered my protein. Like I was down to like 6 ounces, where normally I would be at like 8 or 10. So I'm wondering if that's like one of the things that has contributed to the bloated guts or the thicker waists.
I think so.
How long do you think you're going to go with the low protein, Nick?
I'll probably just stay with it because, like, my strength is coming back quick. Like, I
Yeah.
feel great. So, I don't, at this point, like, I don't feel a need to even raise it. I'd rather eat more carbs than fat, to be honest.
Do you think you can recover just as fast? Because one thing I did notice is like during my prep, I was okay, but right now, like I had like some kidney issues, so I lowered my protein even
Yeah.
further. I went down to like 4 ounces, and I
Well, that's
noticed, yeah, it's low, but I increased my carbs and all that, but I noticed I'm not recovering as fast.
I don't. I train really hard, so it's still hard to tell. Like when I train legs, even from like last year, I would still be like sore up until it's time to train legs again. So
yeah.
I think it's about the same, but just overall, I don't feel like tired, bloated, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Being this lean at 273, I'm pretty happy with it. So.
Jamie, you're like, what did you weigh on stage, 300?
295 on stage.
295 on stage. What do you weigh in the off season? Like 350?
I'm 315 at the minute. I'll probably go to 340. But this time I'm gonna keep like a relatively decent condition as well.
So what does it take? And this isn't a joke. I know people are gonna think it's a joke, but what does it take to feed 340? Like, what does your calories look like for the day?
Shit ton of food.
Yeah.
At 340, like 8,000 plus calories.
Holy fuck, man.
At the minute, I started my off season at 6'4", and that was 750 protein carbs, 450 protein, which is, we're talking about high and low proteins. My protein is relatively high.
Yeah.
And then 150 fats, which has just gone up recently. So now I'm probably just shy of 7,000 calories.
So you're 450 grams of protein, 750 grams of carbs.
Yeah.
And 150 grams of fat, and you're doing that every day.
Yeah, 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 without fail. And I think that's what people find hard to get, isn't it? It's constant.
Well, yeah, because if you said that to somebody, like, well, that's no big deal, because that's a lot of guys, that's like what the refeed day looks like.
Yeah.
But that's what
yeah. But you got to do that shit every single day. That's the fucking.
Yeah.
So do you feel like bodybuilding is way harder for you? Or are you just used to it because you're a bigger guy and it's like not a big deal?
I'm used to it now. I mean, I hear people moan about eating 4,000 calories, and I think, you don't even know. But, yeah, I'm used to this amount of food. This amount of food for me is manageable. Like, I'm still hungry. And I know that's probably largely down to the fact that I'm still close to the show period.
Yeah.
But I can eat this amount of food all day. It's things like the 20K day challenges that fuck me up.
So I want to ask you about that because, okay, I don't know if you know this, Nick, but Jamie is known as – I thought I was known as the pizza guy. Apparently,
I remember the last podcast. He eats a lot of pizza.
Yeah, he's the pizza guy. I think I've become the McDonald's guy. I think
you're the pizza guy in Canada.
So what? Okay, first I saw you carrying like a shitload of boxes of pizza one day after your prep. How many pizzas have you eaten in a day?
In a day, I'll just go. Like after the show, I think I had four pizzas.
In one sitting?
Yeah. There was only like, 12-inch pizzas, so they wasn't massive.
So they're mediums then?
Yeah.
Four mediums? I could do four mediums.
Did you see the pizza that I ate on the challenge? That was like a 30-inch. That was huge.
Let me see if I can find a photo of it while we talk.
Inch pizza?
The guy on YouTube's called Kyle V Food, and I think he's got an Instagram as well.
Let me see if I just find it on Google. Did you finish that pizza or no?
No.
I think he
demolished it as well. He absolutely demolished it.
He demolished it. Yeah, those professional eaters, though, man, you can't compete with them.
I think he told me he fasted for 48 hours.
This is the pizza, Nick.
Holy. Yeah.
So you didn't finish it, Jamie?
No, I think.
How much of it did you eat, though?
I did about 2/3 of it, but that was on a day where I ate a 3,000 calorie McDonald's breakfast like 4 hours before.
Yeah, and he was still fasting.
And he was still fasting, yeah. So he had the upper hand.
So you did the 20K challenges on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, that one's actually just on today. It's on now.
All right, so everybody who's watching, go check out Jamie's 20,000 calorie challenge. Do you want to give away if you got to 20 yet, or do you want people to go watch
it? Yeah, because I'd like to discuss it with you because mine went down pretty much very similar to yours.
Nick, have you ever done an eating challenge like that?
No, but I want to, but I'm afraid of feeling like shit for 3 days.
Oh, you won't feel. I didn't feel like shit. Like the next day, I got up and had breakfast.
Really?
Yeah, but that day, I stopped because I'm like, I think I'm going to die. Like my blood pressure was like through the fucking, like my face was red and my wife was like, are you okay? I'm like, I don't think I'm okay, man. I'm like, I think I should stop.
I want to do one though.
You should do a 20K, like, cause everybody can do 10, like 10's easy. Like
10 simple. Yeah.
Like I got to 10. And Jamie, you know what I found is interesting? I did the math wrong.
Okay.
I think I actually got closer to 20 than I thought.
Right.
Because I ate four of those. We have a restaurant here called Swiss Chalet. It's like a rotisserie chicken place.
Yeah.
And they make these little pot pies. And in my 20-calorie challenge, I ate four of those pot pies.
Right.
And I did the math wrong, and I calculated them as 750, when really it was only 750 per half.
Oh, okay.
So I actually doubled. Yeah, so I found an extra 3,000 calories somewhere. So,
there you go. You're close.
No, I was closer, yeah. But, okay, well, anyway, so how close did you get? What happened?
Oh, man, I bummed because I think you got further into the day, and then you had that big pasta meal, which wrote you off, right?
Yeah, fuck me right up.
Home-cooked meal. You can't do home-cooked meals.
100%.
Well, you gotta go every
meal. Yeah.
I did a pizza meal too. So I'm 3,000 calories deep off the breakfast, and then I'm going for it. I think the total calories for the pizza was like 8,000.
Yeah, yeah.
For the pizza.
Yeah.
And I went in deep on that, and I described it on my YouTube as, what you should do on these days is just put the tip in. But if you go all in, you're fucked. I went all in on the pizza. So I got to, but at the end of the pizza, I was at like 7 or 8 because I didn't finish it. And then I couldn't eat again for another 4 or 5 hours. And
yeah. You hit like this wall where you need like a break. Yeah.
Oh, I called it off at 12:30, and I called it off. I was like you, I thought, you know what, I think I'm going to die.
Okay, but
said, you guys aren't worth it.
So let me ask you this though. Did you fast the day before?
No.
See, this is the one thing I noticed about all these professional eaters.
Did you fast?
No, that's the thing. I didn't. And I was even in, like, you know, the phase, like, you know, when you're done a show, your appetite's like through the roof for like 4 weeks.
In sight.
Yeah. And then there's like a period where like your appetite kind of takes a dip.
It fades a little bit. Yeah.
That's when I did it, in that dip. It wasn't even like my appetite wasn't even like crazy.
Oh, you fucked up.
Yeah. But what I noticed is these professional eaters, they'll eat like half the amount of calories they normally eat for a few days. And then they'll actually fast for a day or two. And then they do these fucking challenges, and they just devour everything in sight.
Mentally, I don't do that.
Why?
Because I just feel like I'll get small.
Yeah, but you're going to refill it all the next day. You just fast for one day, and the next day you're going to fucking blow right back up.
Well, I would rather eat regular food, blow up, and then just eat a little less for a day or two.
Yeah.
Well, you use whatever strategy you want, but I'd like to see you try and do it. What do you normally eat in a day? 4 or 5,000 calories?
Around that, yeah.
Yeah. 20 is hard, man. You know what happens? Like, that home cooked meal really fucked me.
Pasta's heavy, man.
I know. And I ate a whole pound of ground beef with it.
That's heavy fucking meal, bro.
And I put like four. I wanted the extra calories, so I put like 4 tablespoons of olive oil. On top of that.
That shit just wasn't moving from your stomach for hours, was it?
No. I went to the bathroom and I cleared out a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I passed out for like 3 hours, man. And then it's weird how fast the day goes.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking like, I got time. And then all of a sudden you're like, it's fucking 9 p.m. Like, I better, and I still got 10,000 calories to go.
Yeah.
So you want to hit. Okay, man, just go to the Cheesecake Factory all day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Where did you end up finishing, Jamie?
I finished at home. And this is a question. Do you have fish and chip shops in Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I finished off at the fish and chip shop because I was actually doing the 20K challenge with my videographer. It's like a bit of a battle.
Yeah.
Just to try and kill someone else off as well.
Yeah.
And we didn't know whether in America they had fish and chip shops because obviously chips aren't chips.
Well, they're fries, but it's called fish and chips.
Right, okay, yeah. I finished off with fish, chips, and gravy because I thought it'd be nice and easy to eat. Well, I had pie and chips and gravy.
Was it easy to eat?
It was, yeah, but then I got caught half asleep on the sofa, cuddling the dog, contemplating life at about 10 o'clock at night and saying, I've got to go to bed.
And that was it? That was it? You tapped out?
It's game over, yeah. I was like nowhere near, so I thought there's no point in even... I had a box of Krispy Kremes that I bought, didn't even touch them.
Yeah,
I had a box of yogurt raisins because I was shocked. I picked up 200 grams of yogurt raisins with 1,000 calories.
Okay, that would have been good.
I had loads of shit. I had it all planned out, but the pizza just fucked me. So if I did it again, I think I could get a lot closer.
That's what I think. But I'm starting to think there's no way around it. You're going to hit that wall and you're fucked. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you eat. I think
I was fucking swallowing GDAs by the dozen.
It's not going to do anything.
Nothing.
taking insulin shots and shit. You're like,
your
performance enhancing fucking food challenge over here. You're fucking cheating.
Did Keon do it at his 20K?
Who?
Keon?
No, he never did it. I asked him on my podcast. Or if he did, if he did, he never tagged me because he came on my podcast the day before he was going to do it.
I remember.
And I said, make sure you tag me in your stories when you're doing this. And I never got tagged anything.
He'll post like some of it on the stories and I saw nothing.
Yeah, I think he just tapped out. I think he tapped out.
I ain't doing it.
what's the final number you got to? Did you calculate it, Jamie?
Yeah, it was roughly 13.
Yeah, I got to like, now that I did the math right, I think I got closer to like 16 or 17.
Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty good.
A lot of people, they do underestimate how hard it is because you've got this plan. I wrote down 6 meals, 3 hours apart, 3,000 calories each meal. Yeah, it's fucking easy. But that pizza did wreck me, to be fair.
I wonder if it's the food that you're eating or just the fact that, because the first 5,000 calories is a joke, right? Because most of us, I don't know about Nick because Nick eats pretty clean, but like my cheat meals are usually 4,000 or 5,000 calories.
Yeah, easy.
Right? Like if you eat a large pizza and like some wings and then a couple brownies, you're at 5,000 calories.
Yeah. Back to M&M's, we're in there.
But it's the second 5,000. Like once you get to 10,000, you're like, wait a minute. It's like your body stops processing everything.
I find that I get that bloated feeling in my stomach. It just triggers my brain to say, you don't want any more food.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable. And yeah. I think that's the other thing. After the show, you've still got this massive appetite, but your stomach's still quite condensed.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if we added some GHRP6, if that would help.
We'll do the 20K challenge sponsored by Milos.
Okay, so Jamie, what's going on with you, man? So you started your off season?
Yeah, man. So I'm the third week into my training cycle. Jordan's programmed me a new training cycle, which is pretty nuts, to be fair. Jordan's known for his progressive overload style. So just push-pull legs, 2 sets, work set, back off. I know people are very familiar with it, but now I think he's been talking to James. Because James obviously with Patrick. And there's a lot of rest pause sets. There's a lot of contraction pauses, stretches, cluster sets. It's a mixed bag of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes it more good. But it's intense and it's very good.
Nick, what do you think of that? You do a lot of that too, don't you?
I love it. Like I always, my first set's always like, I guess a progressive overload set where I try to beat my numbers. But then usually on the back wall set, usually I do a rest pause or some type of cluster set.
But wait a minute. So when you set up your workout, because I did a whiteboard video recently where I was trying to show people how I set up my workout. The progression of it. So my first exercise is usually straight sets or pyramid sets. Like pyramid sets, like I'm not trying to do the progressive overload thing on my first exercise. Like if I go in, say, to do legs, I'll go to like leg extensions. I'm not doing like progressive. Oh, yeah. It's more of like a pyramid set style, right?
Yeah.
Jamie, you're like that too?
Yeah. So my compounds will be for legs anyway.
But the first exercise, not your compound, like your very first exercise is more...
I always do like yeah.
pyramid leading, style.
Leading into the compounds further in the workout, like third or fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you get into your second exercise, like for me, my compounds start like exercise number 2.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's when I get into like the progressive overload, more JP style training where like I'll save everything for the last.
Yeah. Yep.
So you guys are on board like that way too, right?
Yeah.
What I started doing now is my third exercise, I add in something like Patrick would do. Which is more of like a rest pause, like do a set, wait 25 seconds, do another set, wait 25 seconds, blah, 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 for like 5 or 6 rest pauses.
Yeah.
So are you guys doing that kind of thing too, Nick? Or no, you're not doing that?
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah.
That's right. Usually like I'll do the first exercise as a pyramid.
Yeah.
And then the second, I usually do my progressive overload and then a back off. And then my third, I'll do my top set, and then my back off set will be a rest pause. And then my fourth, which is usually my last, I'll do another top set, and then a cluster set after that. And that's usually how I finish.
You're big on the back-offs, eh?
Yeah, I feel like they play a good role.
What about you, Jamie? Do you do back-off sets?
Yeah, and for me, I think they play a role in terms of having that, I call it training fitness.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, in the off-season, we don't want to stick to just 6s to 8s or 10s. I'm pushing them back-offs like 15 plus.
Okay. Yeah,
just to keep that ticker a little bit healthy as well.
So are you... But that's not why you do it, Nick, is it? Is it for your health, or you feel like you're getting just saturating the muscle more?
I feel like I'm saturating more. I get a bigger pump out of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I go do the my tap set, toward the end of the set, sometimes I just don't feel like I'm contracting the muscle anymore. Yeah. So I feel like the back off set plays a better role in doing that.
So just for example, so people understand what we're talking about, your top set on, say, because you don't squat, you hack squat. So your top set on a hack squat might be like 6-7 plates, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say you do 7 plates on a hack squat. You're going to knock out 6 to 8 reps?
I like to stay in the 8 to 10.
Okay. So you say 8 to 10, but like you said, it's so heavy.
It's like I'm failing.
Yeah. 7. Like once you get to 7, you're not feeling anything for 8, 9, 10. You're just kind of.
But like, I just feel like I'm starting to just push weight at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So your back off set is intended more for, you want to get that contraction for like a good 15 reps.
Because I mean, I don't know how you are, but when I go that heavy, I don't really get drastic pump.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus the back off when my legs would explode like crazy.
Yeah, I think there's something to that, because I think when you go a little bit lighter, you can focus more on actually contracting the muscle and not just getting from A to B.
Yeah. That's why I do a heavy and then a back off. I feel like they both play a role in strength and size as well.
But I think you need the one, even though you might not be able to feel the heaviest set as much, you need it. You need it for growth.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think the heavy stuff, if anything, it gets that CNS working so we can manage that lower weight better.
Well, it's all relative, right? If you can hack squat 7 plates, that means your back off set is like what, 5 plates?
Yeah, I usually do buff. I usually take like 2 plates off.
Okay, so let's say now your back off set is 5 plates, whereas if you didn't do that 7, you wouldn't have built up enough strength to do a back off set at 5. Your back off would be 3.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's important to build the strength so that your back off sets can be heavier.
Exactly.
So interesting. So
that alone will give you growth in itself.
What's that?
That alone will give you even more growth, because even your that is still like fucking heavy.
Yeah.
And you're doing a large amount of reps. And since I do a very slow eccentric rep, I'm breaking the muscle down like really bad, which is a lot of tension, which is just going to give me more growth anyway.
Yeah. I do. I've been doing a lot of the cluster set stuff and a lot of the rest pause stuff.
I like it.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of that. And because Patrick gave me kind of a template about what he does. So I've kind of been throwing it in here and there in different workouts. Yeah. But I don't generally do the back off sets ever.
No?
No, I usually do like a top set, but my top set usually could include a drop set. I might do that, but I don't actually just stop.
Well, if you do it like that, then that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if it would help me to add some back off sets. I've never done that.
Like I think it would.
My whole career, I've never done that. Because even back in the day, like I used to do pyramid sets. And once I would get to the top set, like if I was bench pressing, if I got to 405, that would be it. I'd move on to the next exercise.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go back to like 315 or something, or 225 to knock out some, to saturate the muscle more.
Try it out.
So, yeah. Yeah. So Jamie, what's going on next? What are you gunning for next year?
So I'm obviously waiting for the calendar to come out. Like many people, I think that comes out in like December time, maybe January.
Yeah.
But I want to try and target the later shows, obviously pre-qualify for 2021. Just to give myself as much time as possible in the off season to just grow that extra bit more that I think will take me from a first call out guy that's finishing 4th to 6th to a guy that's finishing 3rd and above and maybe challenging for winning a show.
So you want to qualify for 2022, you mean?
Yes.
So you're thinking like do a show in like October, November or something like that, qualify for the year after?
No, I want to qualify for next year.
So
I want to pre-qualifying show for next year's Olympia.
Okay, so you're
July time.
Oh, okay, so summertime. Okay. What about you, Nick? What do you think? What are you guys thinking?
If everything is, you know, as it should be, and COVID's not in the way, we're going to do New York Pro.
Nice. That's a big show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. What about, is there a specific show you always want to do, Jamie, or you just want to, you're thinking more timeline?
My plan before all this crap kicked off was to do California, which was May.
Yeah.
That would have been May this year, around the same time as the British. And that's a show for a number of reasons, not just because it's a nice place, but the show lends itself, I'm told, the judging criteria anyway, lends itself to a more aesthetic physique.
Okay.
And you can see that from the previous show winners like Patrick Moore.
Yeah.
Nathan went there a little bit more streamlined for his look compared to the same year he did the New York Pro, bigger and fuller.
Mm-hmm.
He actually manipulated his physique to go in more streamlined for that show purposely because the past winners had been that look.
Okay, wait a minute. But do you put yourself in that category?
I don't put myself in as a streamlined look, you know, but at the same time, when somebody says mass monster, I think of somebody with just almost like too much muscle.
You know you're a giant, right?
Yeah.
You're not Patrick Moore. You're a fucking animal. Like, you're huge.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I know what you mean. Your proportions are very nice. Like, your physique is very well put together.
Yeah.
But I think there's another category other than, like, Patrick Moore and then mass monster. There's like an like Nick is a mass monster, right?
Yeah.
Patrick Moore is like a aesthetically pleasing.
Yep.
I think there's an in between.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that's where you fall, right? I think you fall in, and this is just my opinion for whatever it's worth.
Yeah.
I feel like you fall in the middle somewhere, but especially now that you're trying to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, you were 295 on stage last year. If you step on stage at 310,
mm-hmm.
You might be considered a mass monster. Like, people are going to be like, this guy's fucking enormous, right? So,
yeah. And that's what I want. You know, I do want that that title, I guess. But at the same time, I want to be known as that guy with the shape to go with it.
Good proportions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. I just realized something. You guys both had your pro debut and you both took fourth in your pro debut. Well, not your pro debut. That was your second show, Jamie. Sorry, but you both ended up with a fourth in your first year. So, Nick, I've already asked you, Jamie, how does it feel to be able to crack the top five in your first year, you know, coming out?
You know, I spoke to James a lot, and James said that it's something that you should really sit down and think about and be very proud of because it is a hard nut to crack. I think he did it in his second or third year of competing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is a massive thing. And I take a lot of positives away from the year that I've had. I think that, and Nick would probably agree with this, if we'd have competed for longer, if it was like maybe our fifth show in, the results may have been different because we might have been swapped around more or whatever. But I'm dead happy with the result. And I think that one thing for me that I needed to get out of the way was the hype factor. So the judges have now seen me. They know I'm tall. They know what to expect. So I think now they can judge me with like an unjaded set of eyes.
Like a more familiar look.
Yeah. They kind of know what's coming. So now they can judge my physique, not just how tall I am.
Yeah. All right. Listen, the reason I wanted to have you guys on is I still have a whole bunch of questions from my Bodybuilding and Bollocks post. So we're going to cover a few of these questions. Are you guys cool with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's get them done. So people ask questions every week, and every week we only end up answering like three of them.
I know.
And there's like 500
questions. Like five questions.
So I'm trying to work through these questions to make people feel like we're actually answering their questions. So I'm doing podcasts every fucking day. All right. This is a good one. How do you combat lower back pumps when you're on a cycle?
Ooh.
The dreaded lower back pump that everybody gets or they can't fucking move. You guys have any answers for that?
No. Suck it up and work through it.
I found that I get them when I wear a belt tight. So I need to take my belt off to like relieve some pressure.
But is yours – okay. That generally that statement comes from taking Anadrol or D-ball.
I know. I don't know if we were going to talk about that.
Yeah, of course we're going to talk about that. Well, we don't have to if you guys want to. Don't want to, but – is that something that you guys are familiar with for that reason or a different reason?
I'm in my rebound cycle at the minute. Debo's in the mix. And I've got away with lower back pumps in the main, but there's one exercise that kills me. And that's a chest-supported lat pull-down. So I'm facing into the machine.
Yeah.
Dual cable, but I'm pulling down like this. And, yeah. And why it gets me is because I'm arching my lower back, pushing my chest up.
Yeah, yeah.
So that constant arch is just filling up my lower back.
Yeah.
So I guess there's exercise that you can just probably avoid to negate that issue.
Yeah.
When I get to that point, I can't deadlift anymore, rack dead. I have to nip that in the butt for a little while.
So when you get lower back pumps, Nick, what do? You just nothing? You just leave the gym?
No, I'll just not do those certain exercises.
Yeah.
But what do you do to deal with the pain?
Oh, I'm laying on the floor for a good 20 minutes. Okay. Like yesterday, it actually happened for the first time, and I was like, oh, shit, there it is.
All right, so we don't have an answer for this person. You just have to fucking deal with it. Okay.
Here's one for you. Try taking 500 mil of coconut water before you train.
You think just the electrolytes would help?
Yeah, a bit of hydration.
Yeah. Okay. Fight Ronnie Coleman in a boxing match or fight Ronnie Coleman in an octagon?
I mean, it sounds like a lose-lose to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, now...
I think I'd have a better chance at a boxing match.
Really? No, I'm going octagon. I'm kicking that fucker right in the face.
If he gets a hold of you, you're fucked.
I'm running circles around this motherfucker.
Wait a minute. We're not talking Ronnie Coleman like now. We're talking Ronnie Coleman when he was like in his prime. So he can run too.
I don't know about it.
Remember he played football. He's athletic. So you got to think, if you're in an octagon, that means it's MMA rules, which means he can grab you and throw you on the ground and get on top of you. Punching in the face.
My answer, I'm going boxing. I'm going boxing.
I just feel like boxing, you might stand a chance of like eluding some punches.
Yeah.
You have to be ready to dip every single shot you throw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about you, Jamie? You're taller. What do you think? You fucking just, you could pick them apart from like.
Yeah, I'm going octagon because I'm going leg kicks for the knee.
But you're 6'6". If you box, you literally just like jab him from like 5 feet away.
Yeah, well, I fancy taking him out from the knees. And then once he's on the floor, I'll grind him bad.
All right. We're going to skip that one because I don't think it – do you read? Jamie, do you read?
No, I'm more of a listener.
Yeah, I'm a listener as well. So we're skid. Nick, you don't read, do you?
Hell no.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I think I asked you that before. All right, this is a good one. Who do you have in the top 6 to 10 spots at the Olympia? So we all know, like, who's generally in the top 1 through 6. Who do you guys think is going to be, like, 6 through 10? I put Ian in that category.
Yep.
Nathan.
Nathan's not doing it.
I thought he was getting ready for it.
I saw he was on the X list or whatever.
All right, I don't have the list in front of me. We'll keep guessing then. So Nathan's not doing it. So far I got Ian. Who else is qualified? Do we have a list anywhere?
Where would you put Hunter? Because I think Hunter's looking very good at the minute.
Hunter's in the 6 through 10 spot, I think.
I got Hunter in the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah, but not in the top 6. Do you put him in the we should say top 5 because we're saying 6 through 10 and 1 through 5. So do you put Hunter in the top 5?
No. He's 6 through 10.
Okay, and then Ian 6 through 10?
I would actually, if Ian comes in on point, I could have Ian anywhere from 6 to 7.
6 and 7.
Yeah.
But not in the top 5.
I don't know.
Okay,
I think he's a strong, it looks like a strong top 5 looking at the list.
Oh, you got the list in front of you? Can you read the names? Yes, one by one.
Brandon Curry.
Okay, we're going to say obviously first or second.
Yep. Bonac.
Top 5.
I'm going to say Bonac's going to be fourth.
Fourth?
Yeah.
Adi?
Are we picking a random top 5 or are we picking where we think they're actually going
to play? I'm going to try and place them.
Then I'm going Brandon Curry number 1.
Okay, Brandon Curry number 1, Phil Heath number 2, Rami number 3.
Nah, yeah. Rami's going to set everyone again. He's going to be like 8th.
I'm going to say Rami number 3.
Oh.
Rami number 3. Bonac number 4. Okay, who else we got?
We got Hadi Chupan.
Oh, fuck. Maybe Hottie could beat Bonac.
I got Hottie third.
You got Hottie in third?
If he comes in even better than we did last year, I sure. Yep.
You think Hottie can beat Rami?
Yep.
I think Rami's going to fucking blow people's minds this year.
And you know what? I hope he does.
It would be nice to see.
I'm basing it off past shows. I'm going to have Hottie in front of him.
I'm going to keep picking Rami until he wins. Then I'm going to be the guy that knew it all. I'm like, I do it all along. No, okay. So
how about Rolly?
Okay. Yeah. Rolly, I got. Fuck, that's a tough top five, Rolly, man. Because
very tough. You got Dexter as well.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's go back. So, fuck, let's just go with the list. I got to write these down. No, I got to write these down because we're going to get it right. Okay, so start from the top.
Right, so we've got Phil and Curry.
So, one, Curry. I don't want to bet against Brandon. Okay, one, Curry. Two, Phil. Three, I'm going to say Rami.
Okay.
Four.
I think four, you've got Bonac or Hottie.
I'm going to put Hottie in four. I'm going to put...
And then you've got a group of Bonac, Dexter, or Rolly for me.
I'm going to put Bonac in fifth. I'm going to put Dexter in sixth.
I can see that.
I'm going to put Rolly in seventh.
Yeah.
I'm going to put – who's – okay, who else? Name another name.
So you got Hunter.
Wait, so who's that, Jamie?
Hunter?
Yeah. Okay, well, Hunter already beat Ian, but Ian's going to come back better.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. Who beats who, Ian or Hunter?
Me too, though.
Nick, do you think Hunter beats Ian or does Ian beat Hunter?
Damn.
Do you know what's difficult? Nick's probably thinking the same. I like both people, so I don't want them to watch it.
That's right. I'll put the video up and block Ian and Hunter from watching it.
I
know what you're saying. Because if you say Hunter, Ian's
so if I had to base it off the pictures that I'm seeing right now from both,
yeah,
I'm picking Hunter.
I kind of feel that way too. I feel like, is it weird? I feel like Hunter's gotten better
since he has.
Yeah, like dramatically better. Like his legs are fucking crazy right now.
Yes.
The photos you pulled the other day were just like the emoji with the head blown out.
Yeah.
It's so tall and round. It's crazy.
He's getting better and better and better. His waist is still staying the same size.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go Hunter 8. Ian 9.
Quite a few people.
Who else did we miss?
Well, Juan Morel.
Juan.
I'm going to put 10.
Antoine.
Listen, I have a reason for Juan being 10 before anybody freaks out.
Yeah.
It's really hard to fucking focus on business and bodybuilding. And Juan has got a crazy business that he's been focused on all year. I don't know if that means he can put it all together and kill people at the Olympia, but if I had to guess, I don't think you can take so much time off and focus on business and then be the same bodybuilder.
So I agree with that.
I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I'm just saying that's why I put him in 10th.
And just for the record, Fuad, I agree with your whole balance situation.
Did you hear that shit, that argument?
I watched the whole thing. I was dying the whole time.
I feel like it's common sense. I'm with
100%, my friend.
Isn't it common sense? Like you can't – Jamie, did you hear the argument?
I didn't hear that one. I heard the one about the first tier and second tier, which –
like, it's where they're coming from, like I do, but at the same
– Wait a minute. I want to know what Jamie thinks about the first tier, second tier thing.
Well, for me, top 10 Olympia for me would be first tier.
Did you hear the top tier argument, Nick?
Yeah, of course.
So my argument was top tier is 1 through 6.
Right.
Tier 2 is 7 through 15.
Okay.
And then tier 3 is everybody else. Because the way I see it is top tier is the guys who can win any show they enter. And then second tier is the guys who are usually first through third or first and second at all the small shows.
Yeah.
Third tier is the guys who are like third through fifth.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Or yeah, like in there, right? So I think – but that's weird to say, though, because you guys both took fourth and I wouldn't consider you third tier.
That's because I'm –
I've got a lot to prove before I make it into the...
So you guys don't think your placings count in this whole ranking system because you're still fresh, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still new, so I don't put myself in a category yet.
I guess that's true. So is my thing too harsh?
No, I think it's reasonable, but there has to be exceptions.
Because we're rehashing an old argument, so I know people watching are probably annoyed, but you guys brought it up, not me. So
I think new timers like me and him, we can't necessarily place where we are yet because we're too new.
Okay, but let's take you guys aside. Let's take in general without the exceptions.
Okay.
Jamie, you think top tier is 1 through 10?
Yeah, looking at that list as well, there's 10 people there that could walk into any show and win, which is...
No, I don't see that. See, this is what I see.
Yeah. I think a top tier
when I get
to do the Olympia and qualify for the following year and don't have to do another show.
When I look at the list you just read to me, Jamie, and for, before anybody gets mad at me, I considered myself second tier when I was bodybuilding. Okay. So let's get that on the record. When I look at this list, I see the first six or seven that I named. And then the other two are separate. Like, I don't think Hunter and Ian are at the spot yet where you can name them in the same category with a Hottie, a Rolly, a Rami. No. Right. And that's not an insult. It's just time. Like, they're going to get there. It's just a matter of time. Right.
Yeah.
So that's why I have my thing the way it is. Anyway, but everybody's going to have their own ranking system. That's just mine. So, but the balance argument, did you hear the balance argument, Jamie?
No, what was it?
It was a 35-minute argument that got really loud. We were shouting at each other. They were all yelling at me. It was me against three. It was Ian, Cedric, and Ben were all telling me I was wrong. And I was like, fuck you guys. You guys are wrong.
I said an outtake from it, to be fair.
I'll just give you a quick synopsis. My argument was that you cannot be the greatest at anything.
Yeah.
And anything, no matter what genre in life you choose, and have balance in your life. Inevitably, you will be focused solely on that one thing, and everything in your life will have to fit into that box.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I mean, look, like, I had a girlfriend that I found a wife that was cool with me being a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
But I let go of a whole bunch of girls before that weren't cool with me being a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like that focus has to be everything is bodybuilding, including the people, the jobs, everything you do in your life is focused on that one goal.
Yeah. 100%. I think everything else is a casualty of your obsession.
Right. It's not an extreme thing to say, is it? Like, it seems pretty.
No. I feel like as a bodybuilder, whoever's in your life, whether it's a girlfriend, maybe not family, but like friends, things like that, they have to be okay with being second in your life.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be honest with you. I said to my wife that for the next 5 years, what I do has to come first. Because
I love that, man. No, because I did the same shit.
As ruthless as it is, for me to be the best person to traject myself as quickly as possible in this short time frame that I have, if I can then retire at 40,
yeah,
with a in a great position,
yeah,
we've got plenty of time to be first.
That's right. I agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. So before you guys freak out, I didn't bring it up. Nick brought it up. So don't blame me for bringing it up. Okay. So let's go back to the list. So we had Juan. Who was after Juan? Do you still have the list up, Jamie?
He's Ant.
Oh, there's Antoine.
Yeah.
I do not have Antoine in top 10.
You think Antoine could beat Juan? He beat Max Charles. I mean, that's big.
What about Justin Rodriguez versus Juan?
Justin Rodriguez, too. That's tough.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Who else
do you see, Jamie?
You got Akeem and Max.
Akeem and Max. Okay, Max... I hate to say this. Please don't be mad at me. I have Max probably last.
Yeah.
Well, because think about it. Everybody on the list has beaten him.
Well, I thought
Lucas. You've got Lucas. You've got Lee Chul from Korea, and then Lucas. You've got. And I think that's.
Oh, okay. Maybe he's not last. I apologize. I was just going by the people that you named first. So, I think Justin is ahead of Max because he beat him already.
Do you think Justin could be in top 10?
I think Justin might be able to beat Juan.
So do I. I have Justin before Juan. I think Justin's going to look really, really good this year.
So if I have Justin in 10, that puts Juan in 11. And then Akeem. Can Akeem beat Juan?
Yes, I think he can.
That's a tough one.
The Akeem's problem is, which is getting better after seeing him in Chicago, I don't think conditioning is a problem for Akeem. I think his skin's just really thick. So yeah. It seems not in condition.
Well, I think
he is.
I think his skin's really dark too, and it's like hard. It's hard to see the lines.
Yes.
Like his definition, in the right light, his striations and his definition is amazing.
Like he looked pretty freaky at Chicago.
I wonder if that's because of like the live stream. I wonder if like when the judges are sitting there, they can see everything they need to see.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so that leaves us kind of screwed with the other one. So are we still going to put? So the question was for 6 through 10. So we're saying, well, I'm saying, you guys, I don't know if you guys agree, but I said Dexter 6,
okay,
Rolly 7, Hunter 8, Ian 9, and Rodriguez 10.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a close bet of how it could go. At the same time, the last 8 people could be flipped anyway, couldn't they?
They could all be fucking flipped. It's actually a really good show.
Yeah.
I do feel like Akeem could crack the top 10.
Well, this is the thing. When I look at Justin, Ian, Hunter, Akeem, Juan.
If anyone's off, anyone can slip right in.
Yeah, you know? I feel like all 5 of those guys could be like flipped in any which way.
What do you got? We got Regan.
Yeah.
Did Regan qualified for next year, though, didn't he?
And he qualified for this one off points.
Yeah.
Is he doing it?
He said he is.
Yeah.
I don't think Regan beats Justin.
I don't either.
But we still have Antoine, too. Fuck, man. That's really tough, you know? That's really tough because Antoine can be very, very, very impressive.
He can, but I think he'll be smaller than everyone else.
I don't think so, man. When he was in California, he beat Max. Like, he looked good. Like, it wasn't close. Like, he was definitely the winner.
Who else was in that show?
I don't remember. I remember him and Max being primarily the two.
Yeah.
Not to disparage anybody else, but I didn't actually get – because there wasn't a lot of video of that show or a live stream or anything, so I didn't get to really watch it.
Yeah, the line was pretty shit, wasn't it?
I don't know, but we forgot Regan. Yeah, Regan and Antoine fit right in here. Like, are Regan and Antoine on the same level?
I could beat Juan.
Wait a minute. Are Regan and Antoine on the same level?
I feel like
Antoine's figured out his physique. What do you think? Jamie, what do you think? Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, I think Antoine might be a little bit bigger. I think for Regan's sake, if he needs to come in really hard and dry, which I don't think...
You know what I found a problem with Regan is every time he shoots...
He has a problem with being hard.
Well, this is the thing. Every time he shoots for conditioning, he looks a little flat and it doesn't get the hardness. And every time he shoots for size and fullness... he's a little soft and he doesn't get the hardness. So either way he plays the game, he's not getting that like really dry, hard look.
Yeah. But why do you think that is?
I don't know if it's because it's like he's still young. I don't know. Like, I don't know what it is.
How old is Regan?
I think he's in his late 20s. I think he's in his late 20s.
27?
I'm 26. He is older than me, right?
No. I know. And Ian said the same thing because Ian's like been shredded since he was like 22. But I think everybody develops at a different rate, right? So I think maybe Regan just needs more time.
He just needs a couple more years.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because they've tried everything. Like, he's been really, really, like, depleted, and he still doesn't get that really, really grainy look.
Yeah.
And he's been really full, and he still doesn't – you know what I mean? So they just – I don't think they've really – either they haven't really figured out his body 100% or I think it's more of an age thing. Than
time.
Yeah, just time, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we establish that, then that puts Antoine ahead – Then do we say, is Antoine on the same level as Ian?
But so that goes off shape now because I think Ian's bigger than Antoine, but I think Antoine has a better look than Ian does.
I'd like to see them stand next to each other after New York because Ian didn't get – Antoine was 9th in New York and didn't get a chance to stand next to Ian.
And then what, a week later, he wins.
But a week later, he won, and Max was 4th in New York. So if you do the bodybuilding math, that means Antoine could have been in the top 3.
Absolutely.
So I'd really like to see Antoine standing next to Ian and Justin in at the Olympia.
I think Justin is going to shock a lot of people. I do.
You think so? I think he's going to get knocked down for his leg size. Because that's why he lost to Ian, and that's why he lost at Chicago.
But I honestly don't think his legs are that much smaller than.
No, but it's not. I had the same problem Justin does. Justin's shoulders are so wide.
That's true.
That it makes his legs feel smaller. They're not small, but it just doesn't match up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when he lost in Chicago and he lost to Ian, the main knock was his lower body was smaller.
Make decent improvements from that Chicago to the Olympia?
I don't think he's going to be come back with like new legs, not after a few weeks.
But like just better.
I think it's structurally he needs time to build more muscle onto his legs.
Yeah.
So I don't think if they're in the same condition, I think Ian will beat him again.
Ian beat him in New York, right?
Yeah.
Because Justin.
Yeah, primarily because of the legs.
See, I think close. I do.
You what?
I think it'll be close between.
Well, it was close in New York. I think Ian only won by. I'm not positive. No, I shouldn't say that. I think he won with straight firsts. I was going to say he was close, but it wasn't. I think he won with straight firsts.
Justin came back at the night show a lot better, right?
Yeah, he did. Well, okay. Well, let's see. Anyway, it's tough to say.
The 6-10 is a tough call.
You know it's a fucking tough show when you have Dexter in sixth.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I think past seventh, if you've got Rowley in seventh, past there, it's just like an open field.
It is. Yeah.
But even if you look at the top six or seven that we mentioned.
There. Keem could be in there.
Yeah, but Nick and Jamie, even the top seven that we mentioned, those guys are kind of the same. All of them could switch places if they're a little bit off.
Yeah,
for sure.
Right? So you kind of have two groups. It's almost like you have a first tier and a second tier.
They're coming.
Okay, anyway, let's move on. I'll get to another question. Sorry, guys. Okay. Is there a fix for arms and hands going to sleep at night? I wake up 30 times a night having to squeeze my hand. Then it's hard to go back to sleep. Do you guys ever have that where your arm falls asleep when you're in bed?
No.
No. I usually, when that happens, it's because somebody's sleeping on their arm. Like if you sleep like on your arm, like it'll go numb on you.
I usually fall asleep on my back. So
yeah.
You guys, when you get really lean, like say 2 weeks out from a show.
Yeah.
When you sit on the toilet and have a shit, you get like dead legs.
Pins and needles. Yes.
Yeah.
As I get fucking in off season, like you can sit on the toilet for as long as you want. Nothing.
No, that's not true. I've tried it.
I've tried it.
Like you're around.
No, man. If you're on Instagram long enough, your legs will go numb.
Okay. Yeah. If you just get a longer time span in the off season. Cool. I remember it.
You can't. I got to tell you a fucking really sad story. I was on my phone for so long. My fucking left leg went like dead. It was fucking, the whole thing was numb. Okay. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stand up. And I kind of mentally prepared myself. I'm like, when I stand up and put all your weight on your right leg.
Yeah.
Because your left leg is fucking dead.
Yeah.
So I stand up and I fucking fell on my ass. Like I fell right back. I'm like, I wobbled a little bit. Oh. I couldn't catch myself and I fell back onto the fucking toilet. And I'm like, oh, this is a sad, sad sight. Like, my wife comes knocking on the door. Are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. I just have to get back up. So, anyway,
I've been there.
Don't you haven't fallen though?
No, I've never fallen, but I've stumbled.
Yeah, you stumbled when your leg goes dead, man. You can't catch yourself. It's like
it's gone through my head a few times as well. It's actually quite dangerous, you know. I'm standing up. I've got 300 pounds, and I can't feel my legs.
Yeah, that's not safe.
My knees could go, my ankles, whatever.
Did you find it easier or harder to live by yourself when you're bodybuilding?
In the last 6 weeks of prep, yeah.
Yeah. Unless I can find the right training partner, then I like to live by myself.
I think in the off season, it's easier to have somebody to be with because then you don't feel like you need to go out all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think when you're dieting, it's better to be alone.
100%.
Because you just don't want to.
That the only person I don't mind training with, the prep, non-prep, is Matt.
No, I mean like relationships, like a girlfriend.
Oh.
I think this guy's talking about like.
Like training with my girlfriend?
No, not training. It says live. So I think you're talking about living with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's alluding to. So what I'm saying is like in the off season, it's better to be living with a chick because you're like, you don't have to go out on the weekends. You have some kind of something to do and someone to keep you company. So you stay focused on your diet.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
And then when you're dieting, you're like, you don't want to – I always feel guilty because I don't pay them no attention.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm like, if I'm by myself, then I don't have to feel guilty.
Well, Pat's already said we're going to get a new house at the beginning of next year. She's already said we need to find a house with a separate house on the side.
Yeah.
We're going to have a fucking big enough garden where we can build a big shed.
Yeah.
So 6 weeks out, I'm gone.
Oh, she's going to move out. That's even better. I thought she was going to kick you out.
She can move out or I can move out, but we're not living together.
Well, you can do what I do. If you buy a house that has a big basement, I got all my shit in the basement. Like,
yeah.
I have my own kitchen down here, my own, like, everything. So I don't, if we don't have to see each other, she just goes upstairs.
It's a must.
That's badass.
This is linked into this question. It's made me think about it. Huh. What was it during the lockdowns this year when we've had access to private gyms? Can you now train around other people? Do you struggle? Like, did you like it so much by yourself that it now you feel it has to be like that?
I did at first.
Yeah.
Because they were locked down and then they opened and then now they're kind of starting to lock down again. But when they locked down, I was like in heaven because I had a key to a gym and I was training by myself. And then a gym opened, and I was like, it just took me a couple of weeks to adjust.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, Nick, you, same thing?
I did, yeah.
I don't know, though. I don't know about you guys. I kind of like the energy of a good gym.
Yeah.
If it's the right crowd, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Like, I like when there's other people in the gym training hard and shit. Kind of like, I feed off that energy a bit.
Yeah.
I think the problem I had, because I own the gym, you get the same people ask you the same questions about prep, about your diet, about competition. Well,
yeah, you own the gym?
Yeah, so...
So you're there every day. Oh, my God.
I'm not there every day, so I don't work there.
Yeah.
But every time I obviously go and train, I see the same people.
Yeah.
And I just think towards prep, the lower body fat gets, the more stressed out you get. It just gets harder to be nice to people.
Yeah.
So it's just easier to be by myself.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, because they all want to talk to you, and it's not their fault. They don't know what to say. So they're like, how's your prep going? And you're like, you've already answered that question 16 times that day and every other day. So,
or the, you know, how do you feel?
Yeah, you're like, I feel like shit. Don't ask me that. I feel like.
Or I bought you some biscuits. No, I can't have them on a diet. What, you can't have one?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I'll take this one really quick. Fuad, do you plan on getting another dog? No, I don't at the moment. It might be a couple years before we get another dog.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't know, our dog passed away. That sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're not just going to. I kind of find it weird when people like have a dog that passes away, they just get another one like a week later.
They replace it. Like, it can't be replaced.
It seems kind of strange to me.
Yeah.
But even though in saying that, it's weird. The house is really quiet. Like, you don't realize, like, the dog is, like, part of the family. It's weird. The house is all of a sudden, like, very quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
How come we never see onions in any bodybuilder's full day of eating? Do you guys eat onions?
I eat onions all the time.
Do you really?
I love onions. Onions and peppers.
What about you, Jamie?
Nah. I think they make me fart. And I don't need anything that makes me fart more.
I don't, there's two reasons. I don't want to stink up my house, so I don't cook onions.
Yep.
And I don't want to stink when I go to the gym, so I don't eat onions. It's just like pretty simple. I don't know. What are your guys' top five supplement ingredients? We'll pass on that one. We all have different supplement companies we promote, so I won't tell them to go to hostile.com and buy all of our products. After the podcast with Carnivore MD, would you say, what would you say your ideal bodybuilder meal consists of? Do you guys know the carnivore diet?
That's who you just
eat. I did hear the podcast, to be fair, about the testicles, and I was like, this guy's getting excited about eating testicles. I'm not sure if this is the right podcast.
So that's how far you made it into this podcast? You turned it off?
I listened to a bit, to be fair. I listened to about an hour and a half. I usually tune in when I'm driving somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'll come back to it.
So
I found what he said quite interesting, to be fair.
It's weird because I've talked to people that say he was kind of lying. Because,
yeah,
because the carnivore diet apparently is no carbs.
I was going to say, I thought it was just strictly meat. That's it.
Well, meat and animal organs and stuff like that, like kidney, liver, like whatever, right?
Carbs and shit like that. Just.
But when he was on the podcast, he was saying I could have fruit and I could have rice and I could have, and I'm like, well, this doesn't sound fucking hard at all. This is like a bodybuilder's diet.
Pretty much, just eat meat all day.
No, but you have, like, he said I could have rice and everything. And I'm like, this is just like, this. I'm already eating this diet. So, but then people started messaging me after going, that's not the carnivore diet. The carnivore diet has no carbs in it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Would you guys ever do anything like that?
I might try some different diets after bodybuilding, but...
Probably. Maybe eating and stuff, I would try different things.
Yeah, but probably not just a just all meat diet, would you?
No. I'd probably eat the same foods, but try something like fasting. Like intermittent fasting. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like lower protein and things that people are doing at the minute.
Just a way to eat
less. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is interesting. James versus Hunter versus Ian at the Olympia. Who wins? Let's assume James is going. Does that change everything?
I'm picking James.
I love James. Like, James is my boy from the UK, but just going off pictures, because I do think it's very hard to give an answer until you see them next to each other. I have to choose Hunter, just because I think Hunter's ridiculous and in some ways cleaner than James. Like, the lines are cleaner.
I agree the lines are cleaner, but I think the density that James carries and the conditioning... I think it would carry him. I actually have James beating them both.
Yeah.
In that list that we made, he would definitely be seventh or eighth. Like, he might even be able to beat Rowley.
It's very close. You know, seeing James in person this year as well, the density was the standout thing that had him win those shows for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's also like the conditioning. And I mean, Ian has it.
Yeah.
It's weird. Ian has that same density, but I feel like James has less gaps in his physique.
He does.
Yeah. What do you think about this, guys? I noticed this year, and I know with people like James and Ian, it's more so apparent because they're so pale and they need more tan. But even I'm noticing that when you put the tan on, it softens out your physique.
It can. It depends on the tan.
I agree with that.
I think
I don't know if there's any way around that.
I think I remember when I used to use Jantana, it would be almost blurring. Like, the lines would blur a little bit because it's so thick.
Horrible thing.
But I remember, but I think Pro-Tan is thinner.
Mm.
What did you use, Nick?
Liquid Sunrays.
Yeah, I've used them too, before, too.
That's a pretty good tan because you don't need a lot. It's quite a dark one, isn't it?
I like
Yeah. I really like that, to be fair. But I think the tan maybe mixed with too much oil can... It's a fine line, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to get it right.
I just think the Jantana one's thicker. It's just the application of it is thicker. It's weird.
Yeah.
Let me see. Would you rather eat fish or meat for the rest of your life? Is that an obvious one?
Meat.
Yeah, meat, definitely. And on that question, I'm just going in for a piss.
yeah, go ahead.
Weak bladder.
Are you still doing the Five Guys challenge when all this lockdown? No. If you had to choose the order of importance, food, training, gear, and rest, what order would you put them in?
Ooh.
I had this argument with Ben on the podcast one day.
What did he say?
I don't want to tell you yet. I want to see what you say.
All right, give me the list again.
Food, training, gear, or rest. And I'm going to add supplements into that because supplements are also part of our puzzle. So food, training, gear, supplements, and rest.
I'm going to go food, training, rest, gear, and then supplements.
Ben put rest first.
I mean, it makes sense, but I feel like...
I think you can be really good and not sleep that much.
I know a lot of people that sleep like 4 hours a night and they look like freaks.
Ben's argument was, well, if you can't sleep, you can't recover. But I wasn't saying you can't sleep at all.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, if you're a bad sleeper, like if you sleep 4 or 5 hours a night.
Yeah.
One sec. Jamie didn't hear us. So let's see what he says. Okay, Jamie, you listening?
Yes.
All right. Put these in order. Food, training, gear, supplements, rest. What's order of importance?
Well, food's got to be near the top, for sure.
I got food as number one.
Wait, don't say anything, Nick. Don't tell him.
I would put food first.
Okay.
Supplements last.
Okay.
Training, then rest, then gear.
You and Nick have the same list.
That's what I said.
I put steroids first. Supplements second.
Yeah.
Rest is last. Food is third, and training is fourth. That's my list. It works. No, I'm just joking. Ben had rest first because Ben says if you can't sleep, you can't recover, you can't grow. But my argument to him was, I've seen a lot of guys with like shitty sleeping patterns that are still good bodybuilders.
Yeah. I think training's got to come before rest because you've got to train hard enough to earn the rest.
I think, you know, when I look at like my example is Ronnie Coleman. Ronnie Coleman, he sleeps like 4 hours a night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
it's quality sleep as well, isn't it? It's I feel though as though as all of we are professionals, we've got ourselves in such a position now where we have a lot of downtime. Probably not you, Fuad, because you're doing these podcasts all the time. Yeah. And you're very business-orientated, very busy, away
from... I'm a little less, yeah.
I'm sure, I'm just guessing, sorry if I offend you, Nick, but I think Nick's very much like me in the sense that our day is governed around training. That's where we work.
Yeah.
Then we're eating and resting a lot of the time.
Yeah. If a bodybuilder says they're busy, they're full of shit.
Yeah.
Because I've been a professional bodybuilder for a long time, and I know... When I didn't have anything else going on, it was like eat, sleep, train. That's all I had to do. If I wasn't training, I was at home laying on the couch waiting for my next fucking meal to pop up.
I'm either doing that or I'm going to see a movie or something. But...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you're busy, it's by choice, not because like you had to do.
I should be busy.
Okay, so we're saying food's first?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not gonna answer that one. Is DNP dangerous? As dangerous as some people say. I've never taken it.
Yes,
I have.
Is it dangerous?
It's
pretty fucked up.
I heard it eats away at your body. Like you literally will burn muscle, fat, like everything. Yep. Really, eh?
Disgusting.
Why did never you? Oh, you told. I sorry, Jamie. I think you told me you took it a long time ago. Wasn't that a prep that was went really bad for you?
Yeah, I was advised to take it in 2017/18, heading into the show in March 2018 by a coach called Alex Kickle from America.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah.
Is it the same guy that asked told you to take it?
He's a little bit crazy. He's a little bit of a lunatic. He still swears that it's amazing. He still has all his clients on it, but I would never, ever take it again myself or get anybody else to take it.
It's very harsh.
I've never heard any pro bodybuilder who has taken it. I know like other than you two, I know two others.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody say it was good for them. Like they didn't feel like it did anything good for their physique.
I feel like DMP is used if you're behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, yeah.
But if you're behind, you probably shouldn't be doing the show you're doing anyway.
Yeah, I've never fucking taken it. Nobody's ever even told me to take it. I've worked with like five of the top coaches in the world, and no one's ever said get some DNP.
It is. It's a harsh drug.
Yeah. Let me see here. Does your diet change when you go off? I heard a couple of different ideologies on this. I want to hear your perspectives. When you guys cycle off or cruise or whatever you decide to do, do your diets change or do you keep them? Try and keep them the same?
What changes in like food amount?
Yeah.
No.
You still eat the same amount?
Yeah.
You still eat the same type of foods?
Yep.
What about you, Jamie?
Yeah, mine's the same. I think I was talking to a client earlier about this. I think the aim of any off period or lower drug period is to try and maintain strength and composition and body weight. Like,
or when you're off.
Yeah. We're trying to protect it. So less drugs. We've still got to add the amount of food into. Obviously, recoverability is down as well. So the extra food will help us recover, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've talked about this in other podcasts before. I think it's a slingshot effect. When I go off the gear, I try and eat more.
Yeah.
So that I can, because I know my weight's going to drop when I go off.
Yeah, so, but not necessarily.
Well, I'm just saying, like, most people, when they go off,
yeah,
they don't eat properly and everything, so their weight drops, like, 10 pounds.
Yeah.
So when I go off, I try and eat a little more so I can hold my weight at that spot so that when I go back on, I actually boost. You know, I'll actually, that way when I go back on, instead of being 280, now I'm 285, 290.
Yeah.
So...
I think that's a bad thing because you're going to get a composition push from when you put the drugs back in on you. So
yeah, yeah.
Is it?
Which is the most common used drug that female competitors use?
Anavar.
Yeah, 100%.
Anavar. Favorite achievement in sports that is not bodybuilding related?
I won a home run derby when I was younger.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What hormone?
What? No, a home run. A home run.
Oh, right. I thought you said
not a homo.
No. I thought you said a hormone derby.
A hormone or homo? I thought you thought he said homo derby.
No, a hormone. I was like, what's one of those? Oh gosh, I used to be really good at the shot put, so I was county champion at the shot put, which means nothing now.
Well, yeah, I was all city football a couple years in a row.
Yeah,
that's my claim to fame.
Awesome.
Okay, let's see here. Did you know Luke, Jamie?
Yes, I wasn't as close to him as James, but. Yeah, we spoke quite often. I would say I knew him enough to class him as a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, somebody just asked how did each of you meet Luke? And obviously it's for like our regular Bodybuilding Bollocks crowd, yeah. But I didn't know if you guys had met Luke.
I'm actually on the Size Game podcast with Luke and Banji and James.
Okay, okay. That's how you met him? How did you meet?
Together at 2015 British Nationals and the 2016 British Nationals. So I first met him in person in 2015.
Where did you meet? Where did you place at that show? At the 15 Nationals?
Well,
the
15 Nationals, I won.
Did you?
I think Luke came sixth.
So why did you get your pro card? Oh, you didn't win the overall?
No, I won my class. And then in 2016, I came third. And that's when Luke won his pro card.
Oh, so he jumped. Made a big jump in that 1 year. What about you, Nick? Have you ever meet Luke?
Yeah, the first time we met was at like an expo thing that was held in New York back in 2018.
Yeah.
Me and him kind of just stayed in touch ever since then.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Rank your top five biggest freaks of all bodybuilding.
Freaks? Yeah. Ronnie Coleman's
one. Is he one or is he just one of the five?
Do you want to go in order?
Well, let's write these down. I'm going to write these down. So,
okay.
Did you hear the question, Jamie?
Yeah.
Okay. So, top five freaks.
So without an order, I'm going to go Ronnie Coleman, Jay Cutler.
Come on, man. That's not good. That's a bad list.
It's only.
Okay, go on. You got three.
You don't think The freak?
You got three more. You got three more.
You don't think
Jake's I'm gonna finish. I'll let you finish your list first. Go ahead.
Dorian Yates,
okay.
Oh shit, what's that German bodybuilder's name?
Marcus Ruhl?
Yes. That's a freak.
Okay.
Ugliest shape in the world, but that's a freak.
Okay, yeah. Marcus Ruhl. You got one more.
I'm gonna go Big Ramy.
Big Ramy, okay. Jamie, what do you think? Yeah, I have a feeling Jamie's gonna have a better list.
Oh. pressure. Well, I would have Nasser in there. Nasser's okay. A freak.
Nasser.
I would definitely have Ruhl in there.
Marcus Ruhl. Okay, that's two.
What about is it Hunter Schlurkan? Is it his name?
Gunter. Gunter.
Gunter, yeah, sorry, Gunter.
Gunter.
Ronnie.
Well, okay. Yeah, Ronnie, that's one more.
Yeah. And then could you class Wolf in his prime as a freak?
If you want, it's your list.
Yeah, I would say he was a freak, but he was a nice looking freak.
You guys forgot the most obvious freak of all freaks.
Yeah. Wow.
Greg Kovacs. Okay, my list is Kovacs is number one. Martin Ford. How big is Martin Ford? I gotta go with Marcus Ruhl. I'm gonna say Marcus Ruhl is number two.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Jean-Pierre Fuchs is number three.
Yeah. Okay. You really have a freak list.
I'll put Ronnie Coleman in there just because he was, 2003 Ronnie was like freak of freaks.
See, this is where your education of bodybuilding is like really.
I got one more. I know I got one more in my fucking head that's not the same as your list, but I can't remember it right now. Fuck, I know there's one more like really good one that I'm missing. Shit. All right, we'll have to come back to it. I get time to think about another one. Your list, Nick, was just all Mr. Olympias. I'm going to say Bo Lewis is my fifth freak.
Bo Lewis, okay.
Right?
Is that the 212 guy who's current?
The 212 guy, yeah.
Yeah. What are you saying the freakiest body part is about him?
What do you think? What do you think? That's why he's in my freak of freaks.
I was just making sure that, I wasn't the only one.
That's obvious. Fuck. Okay. Have you ever seen that on the stage before? No.
I've not seen it on stage, but Instagram's enough.
So that fits into the class of freak of freaks. If you've never seen it before.
Oh, that's got a pose of its own.
I noticed in all like the ads they do of him, like when his sponsor, they're all like from the side. They're not like from the front.
Oh, gosh. There's just no hiding it, is there?
He's got a great physique. So yeah, it's unfortunate because nobody looks at it, but like
every time like Celios or Bodybuilding Without Borders put pictures up, it's like I don't know what I'm looking at. I can't look at anything else.
Would you rather have uncomfortable protein farts all day or uncontrollable protein burps all day? Uncontrollable farts or uncontrollable burps?
I'm gonna go farts.
Really?
I don't like to burp.
What about you, Jamie?
I think I'll go with burps. I think I'll get away with burps in front of the wife.
Yeah. I gotta go with burps too.
Yeah.
Because if I, like, my wife doesn't like when I fart in front of her.
Yeah, but if I'm like making out with my girl and I burp.
What if you're making out with your girl and you fart? Then what? What are you gonna do? You're making
out. At least I didn't fart in her mouth, you know.
If you're making out with your girl and you fart, what happens for real? She's gonna freak out.
My girl, she'll act like it never happened.
Yeah. What about you, Jamie? If you're making out with your girlfriend, you fart.
Like me.
Yeah, she's going to kick me out of bed. That's just game over.
Yeah, my wife would freak out. She'd be like, what the fuck is that? Like, yeah, no.
I think with a burp, you can kind of just slide off.
It depends on the fart. Is it like a little like beep? Or are we talking like a loud, extensive fart?
Well, they're all sorts. They're not like they're all. We're just gonna say it says uncontrollable. So usually, if it's uncontrollable, it's loud.
Oh, it's a mixed bag.
It's gonna vary.
It's a mixed bag.
Dude, I had burps after a show one year, and the burps were probably worse than my fart. So, if it was those burps,
then... Oh, those like sulfur burps are really bad.
Yeah.
Stomach. But wait a minute. So, how many things can you do while farting versus burping? You can get away with a lot more stuff while burping. People are generally accepting of burps. So you can close your mouth.
Yeah. I think burps, yeah. I'll go with burps.
You know, you just burp, you close your mouth, you say, excuse me.
You can hold in a fart.
it says uncontrollable.
Yeah.
Just you're good.
All right. Nick's going farts. best backs in bodybuilding history. White bodybuilders only. I don't know why they're being racist, but okay. white bodybuilders only with the best backs. So we go. That's actually tough now that I think about it. Because if you take out all the black guys, who do you got left? You got Dorian Yates.
Yeah, Dorian Yates is a good back.
Dorian Yates is probably one of the best backs of all time, regardless of race, other than maybe Ronnie Coleman. But you got Dorian Yates is probably one of the best white backs.
Yep.
Mike Francois.
Yes. I'm still putting Jay Cutler in there.
No.
I like Jay Cutler's back.
You like everything about Jay Cutler. He's going to be on every list we make. You're going to put Jay Cutler on it. Most aesthetic physique, Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler.
Other than Mike Francois, I think Luke had a really good back.
Yeah,
Luke had a great back.
I'm drawing a blank. I'm sure there's.
Goodbye.
Is Kevin Lavroni white or black? Is he mixed?
Mixed.
Can we use him for this one?
We could. He's mixed. Have.
Yeah. You guys aren't helping me very much here. You, Jay Cutler, anybody else? Marcus Rule had a crazy back. He's white.
Marcus, I think James has a great back.
James has a great back. James could use a little more detail in his back, though.
I agree, but it's a very dense, big back.
Yeah, it's a thick.
You know what's weird? You know, actually, now that I think about it, you said that. I was just thinking James could use more back in his back double bicep. His lat spread, his lat spread is good. But then I just thought to myself, I've never seen a picture of Dorian Yates doing a back double bicep.
No.
It's always a lat spread.
Because his lat spread was just insane.
I know, but I wonder why that is. Like, is Dorian Yates, have you guys ever seen a picture of Dorian Yates doing a double back double bicep?
I haven't, I don't think, actually.
Don't they say, though, that you've either got one or the other?
Yeah, they do. Oh wait, I'm actually really stupid. There's a whole bunch of pictures of Dorian Yates doing back double bicep, and it's very good. Yeah, I'm sorry for everybody who's listening. I just had a really bad like brain fart. This is Dorian Yates' back double bicep. Yeah.
Maybe his lat spread was just that impressive. They always just put that one.
I just probably the one I think of all the time is the lat. Like I think of this, right? The fucking meat.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what other white bodybuilders have great backs.
There's probably a whole ton. It's hard when you put it on the spot like that.
Just Google it.
Look at this lat spread.
It's not
what do I Google? White guys with good backs?
White bodybuilders with great backs.
We'll see what happens. Hey, the cut, it actually works.
Hey!
But they're all like Arnold.
Why is that? Is that Ronnie Coleman up there? He's not white.
No, this is no good. There's nobody on this list.
Oh, this is all Dorian. Whose back is that up there? Hold on. Whose back is that?
This guy? This guy's got a good back.
No, no. Where'd he go? This one right there. Yeah, that one.
That's Dorian.
No.
Ronnie.
One below that.
This one? That's John. Is that Johnny Jackson?
Is that who that is?
I think I remember this photo. I think it's Johnny Jackson.
That doesn't count.
All right. Well, we picked Dorian. That's the best one anyway.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do a couple more and then we'll head off. Have you done many party drugs and had any wild benders?
No.
No, I've never been really into that. I got in enough trouble from drinking. So
yeah, I did a lot of drinking.
I did everything.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did everything for a long time. Everything. But the only thing is, for some reason, I don't have an addictive personality, I don't think, because I was always the guy who could, like, turn it off at, like, 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to put anything else up my nose. I'm good. and they would just, they'd be like, okay, well, we're going to keep going. And they would go for, like, 3 more days.
Wow.
And then I was just never that guy. I was like, okay, I'm happy. I'm good. I'm going home. Fuck it. I'm out.
Yeah.
On a level, would you say he was on par with someone like Seth, or is he just in a world of his own? Because I know he's spoke a lot about loving the drugs.
I think me and Seth are a lot alike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun, and even in the early stages of my bodybuilding career, I remember my coach used to be like, you can drink, but just make sure it's dry red wine, because dry red wine is like sugar-free.
Yeah.
So right. I'm like 20 years old. I'm getting ready for my first show. And on the weekends, I'm drinking a bottle of fucking wine, like on a Saturday night, because I'm out with my friends getting fucking wasted. Yeah. I didn't take bodybuilding super serious until like 27. Like once I got my pro card, I kind of like slowed down.
Yeah.
But all through my early 20s, I fucking partied every weekend, Friday, Saturday. For a while, like in my early 20s, I was like fucked up like four or five nights a week.
Yeah, wow.
I just had fun. I don't know. But I was never... I never felt like I was addicted. I never felt like I had to do it.
Just enjoyed yourself.
It's just, look, I ran with a bunch of guys. We're all bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And all we did was eat, drink, party, have fun, go to bars, and fuck around. It was like, it's all we did. But it was like, bodybuilding was always front and center.
Yeah.
Like, if that makes sense. It was front and center included in with all that shit.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just felt like as long as I was getting better,
yeah,
I was going to keep partying.
Sometimes as well, a situation like that allows you to be quite relaxed, which lends itself well to bodybuilding. So, question is, when you was 27, you turned pro, you started taking bodybuilding more seriously. Did you have noticeable changes in progress or, yeah?
See, this is why I got in the argument with Cedric and those guys, because what Cedric was saying was primarily what you just said, which is if you have a little bit more balance, you're happier. And if you're happier, you have better success.
Yeah.
But that's not, I don't connect happiness and success. Those two things aren't connected.
Yeah.
Right. You can be, sometimes you have to be unhappy to be successful. You have to do things you don't want to do.
Yeah.
So I was partying and having a great time and I was still winning, but I wasn't like achieving my full potential. When I turned pro, I kind of stopped drinking. Well, I didn't stop, but I slowed way down. Like I would drink like once a month, right?
Yeah.
There was a dramatic change. If you look at my pro debut, right? My pro debut was 1 week after I turned pro and I was kind of forced into it. I took 16th at the Atlantic City or 15th at the Atlantic City. And if you see my body, you're like, that guy looks like an amateur.
Yeah.
1 year later, after I got my pro card, I do the Montreal Pro and I took 5th. And it's like, a completely different bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And then my body kept making changes like that. You'll see that a jump again happened like from 09 to 11. There was another big jump. And then from 11 to 15, there was another big jump.
Yeah.
And that every jump you see in my career was when I took away something that was interrupting my potential.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest jump came from 12 to 15. And those were my most serious years of bodybuilding.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
There's a definite connection between like 100% focus, right? But I had fun. I don't care. Like I don't regret any of it. Like,
no,
I had fun doing it. I had fun coming up, and so it was all good. What other hobbies or passions do you have outside of bodybuilding?
I quite like the old PlayStation, bit of Call of Duty.
I can never get into that, man.
Yeah. Get back in. I used to be so good when I was younger. I started playing like last week. Fucking suck.
Gotta get on it, man.
Nick, are you like me? If you suck at something, it's hard to get into it.
No, it makes me pissed off, and now I got to play until I'm good again.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know why. With video games, every time I try and play, I'm shit, and I'm like, I just don't want to do it. I'm like, I don't want to put in the time it takes to like, to get good at playing video games.
Yeah.
They are addictive as well. They can take up a lot of time.
I don't have, you know, my only other hobby is cars. Like, I like fucking with my cars, like modifying my cars and like shit like that.
Like going to the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know any bodybuilders with like crazy hobbies.
No, because bodybuilding is the main focus.
Do we know any bodybuilders that have like crazy hobbies that do like cool shit?
No.
Not like classic guys or like, I mean, like open bodybuilders.
No, I don't think so,
man. Right? Most of unless us are just retired. All. Huh?
Not unless they're retired, like Ron riding his BMX.
Yeah, no, not that. I mean, like guys are in the game and competing.
No.
Is there anybody that does anything other than play video games, movies, like bodybuilding friendly shit?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I can't think of anybody doing anything nuts. All right, we'll do one more. We'll do one more. What's the worst car you've owned?
I'll let Nate go first.
My first car, I think, was like a 2003 Cavalier.
Nice. That's actually not a bad car.
I know, but it was probably my worst one.
Yeah.
What did you have?
My first car was a Fiat Punto. It was on a 97 Regi, so a French car, just like a little box.
One second, spell it. 97.
F-I-A-T, Fiat.
Well, I know Fiat, yeah.
Yeah, and then Punto, P-U.
Oh, Punto, I see it. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, it's an old one. It's on a 97. So.
You drove this fucking thing?
Let's see.
The one in the middle, like the green one.
This one?
Yeah, one like that.
How the fuck did you fit in this car?
It's a struggle. The seat went quite far back.
That is fucking amazing.
That was the first car. Oh my God. We've come a long way.
This is Nick's first car. But yeah. I remember seeing your before pictures, Nick. You could fit in this car.
Oh yeah.
Back in the day.
See, I thought you meant a Vauxhall Cavalier, which is a bit different car to that.
This is my first car right here. Look at that beauty.
Oh yes. It's
mint.
Wow.
All right, we'll do one more serious question before you guys go. If you could change anything to the Olympia, what would it be? Wait, no, I got a better one. Fuck that question.
I don't like it.
If you could do one sex position for the rest of your life, which one would it be and why?
Reverse cowgirl.
He's got it. Like, it's like, right, it's on the top of his head already. He's like,
reverse cowgirl. I'm a booty guy. I get to watch that shit move, and I put zero work in.
Yes.
Those are good reasons. That's a good formula for why. I like that. Mm-hmm. The whole I don't have to do shit is perfect.
Exactly.
I'll give it a very, very similar one, but I just turn around the other way. So I could get nice. I could feel that.
Regular cowgirl.
Me and Jamie are on the same page. You're a tit. Are you a tit guy?
You get both on that one, don't you?
Yeah, but are you a tit guy?
I do like tits, yes. I say both because who doesn't like a good ass? But yeah.
Well, okay. Wait a minute. Let's just say this. Everybody likes both. Anybody who says they don't like both is full of shit. Nobody. I don't think any guy ever has said I don't like tits.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to date a girl with small tits.
Okay. What about you, Nick? Do you care about tits?
Not as much as I care about ass.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool, but. Are you like, do you like tits?
I love tits.
You had to go level up. You're like, no, I love them. I don't like them. I love them. All right. So reverse cowgirl and regular cowgirl.
Yeah.
I'm going to say there's a, like a side position I like.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's like a side position I like because I can see the ass and I can see the tits and I got a full visual of everything and I can feel everything.
Yeah.
And I'm on my knees. It's very comfortable. It's like I'm not doing like anything. I'm not doing anything acrobatic. I'm not doing a plank or any shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I agree. I'm with it.
You know what I mean by like the side? Like,
yeah.
Like turn them on the side and lay them down. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, right?
That's a good one.
It's a good one. Because I feel like you don't have to move a lot. You're like, it's okay. Like if you're on your knees, you can do that little bit of moving.
Yeah.
Seems good.
And I like having access to everything. Yeah. Reverse cowgirl, you don't have any access to the front.
Well, if I had to pick like a second favorite, I'm going to go doggy style.
But you're still, that's the same thing. You're still just like...
Yeah. I can grab tits if I want to grab tits.
It's hard to get, you know what though? But let's be honest.
You know, there's a lot of things you can do in doggy style, my friend.
What did you say? What did you say is a little butthole? This podcast is fucking useless. I don't know why anybody listens to shit. I don't think it's easy to grab the tits, though, in a doggy style position.
If she got big tits, it is.
No. It depends. If you have her face down, ass up, it's hard to reach. It's hard to reach.
More like just bent over on the bed.
If she's bent over, if she's at this angle, then yeah, they're like in a reachable position. But if she's like...
I like all style doggy style.
I think Jamie's got it right though, because he's got access to everything.
Yeah, that's.
But you can't. But you can't see the back. You can only feel it.
You don't have access to the butt.
Hey. He's got long arms. He can reach around.
Can get in.
What?
I can get it.
He can reach around to get to it. Holy fuck.
Oh, God.
How often are you going for the butthole, Nick?
I could do butthole all day, every day.
Really, eh?
I like butthole.
You love it.
I love it.
He doesn't like it. He loves it. Okay, guys, amazing. We're going to end on a high note. So thank you guys very much. We'll do it again soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it, guys. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy.
All right, gentlemen. Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys.